This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I'm operating with one eye tied behind my back today. So this is kind of creepy, the parallels. But Nicole is very good friends, kind of a confidant with phone buddies with John Curley. And you do some work for John, his auction business too, I know. And then, Nicole's a very close friend of mine. Tell me, since you know both of us really well, you told me, I told you we were planning an event for this summer, and you told me John is planning an almost identical event, and I didn't know that, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Then
last week, didn't John have some eye problem? What was that?
Oh, John has had an eye problem for a few months now. He has had a couple surgeries. He's had to repair some damage that he did, and he still doesn't have a lot of eyesight in one eye.
So about 3-4 days ago, my right eye started blurring on me, and I thought, well, it's just dry eye. So I got some eye drops, and it didn't do anything. And then my wife had some higher level eye drops. I tried that yesterday. That didn't do anything. So now I'm kind of in a panic because I'm closing my left eye. I can't read anything. I can't see any words on my computer screen with my right eye.
But
so
it's
I
just
called.
A blur. It's just
a blur. It's not
dark.
It's not like a detached
stars.
Retina.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
No. But the eye drops aren't taking care of it, and so I kind of in a panic. A couple of commercial breaks ago, I called the last ophthalmologist. I haven't had an eye exam in a while. And I called the last ophthalmologist I saw. And they're booked until a week from tomorrow. I can't live like this for another 8 days. I got to find somebody else now. And I really like this guy. But I got to find somebody else because it's horrible. I don't
and
have any depth
noticeable?
Perception.
Is it noticeable when you're not looking at a screen or reading? It's noticeable when you're just looking at...
Yeah, no, my eye is completely... Like I even thought about putting a patch on. Do what?
I said maybe it's like a cataract, right? Doesn't that do that?
I don't know. Doesn't that just happen to old people?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm certainly not eligible for that.
Never mind.
I don't qualify for that. I don't know. So now I got to find a new ophthalmologist I can see again, crying out loud. I tell you what, it's always something. That's exactly what I was going to say. Okay, let's get into the fastest 15 here. So I was talking about how people are just complying to government. And I get all these when I contradict Anthony Fauci. He's like a cult leader in many ways, because there are people who are just devotees to Anthony Fauci. And whenever I point out that he's all over the place, no mask, double mask, one mask, no mask outside, mask inside, you don't need a mask inside. And I'll always get these text messages. So where did you get your medical degree? Let me tell you something. I saw my doctor this morning. He's a great doc. I've only had this doc for a couple of years, but he's a really good young man, and he's very good. But please stop believing that doctors are somehow infallible. And, I won't go back to the story of how my wife's instinct saved the life of our middle daughter when a doctor said she was dead. So, but don't start with me on that, because my wife's instinct was life-saving when a doctor's opinion was deadly. And what I know about my body and the reasons for getting the vaccine, reasons why I don't ever wear a mask unless a business requires me to, is I know a lot more about that stuff and myself than Anthony Fauci. And you don't need a medical degree, but stop with this nonsense that doctors are infallible. And I'll give you another example of this. So Fauci was on the Today Show again this morning. Kids want to get back playing with their friends, doing activities, maybe even a summer camp.
Summer camps are coming up, and a lot of parents are looking forward to sending those kids out and hoping they have a great summer since they weren't able to last summer. But the CDC guidelines right now for kids in summer camp say masks must be worn at all times, even outdoors, by everyone, including vaccinated adults and children as young as 2 years old, and campers should stay 3 feet apart, even outdoors.
Okay, I want you to think about that, because that is the current guideline. The two-year-olds have to wear masks outdoors. That even if you've been vaccinated, if you're at a summer camp, you need to wear a mask, which makes no sense if you're outside and vaccinated. And on it goes. I mean, Savannah Guthrie is correct that those are the new CDC guidelines for summer camps. A two-year-old would have to have a negative COVID test within 3 days of any event they are a part of, any class, any activity. If they want to sit in the vaccinated section at a Mariners game, a two-year-old has to have a negative COVID test that you're supposed to tote along. This is insanity. And again, this isn't about public health. This is all about control. Okay, so Savannah Guthrie laid out how insane all of this is.
My question to you is, given what research shows about transmission outside, about the low risk of serious illness in children, are these CDC guidelines excessive?
You know, I wouldn't call them excessive, Savannah, but they certainly are conservative. and I think what you're going to start.
He thinks it's funny. I'm serious, man. I saw that and my blood boiled. I wouldn't say it's excessive, but it is conservative. He thinks this is funny. This isn't funny. What we're doing to our kids isn't funny. Raising kids to be little drones who are to follow the orders of Anthony Fauci and Jay Inslee? Are you kidding me? What a disservice. He thinks it's funny. Okay, so let's get back to this. So why do little kids have to wear masks outside at a summer camp?
To see is really in real time, continually reevaluating that for its practicality. Because you're right, people look at that and they say, well, is that being a little bit too far right now?
Yeah, because aren't we supposed to be, we've been told, people have been preaching for a year, follow the science. The science doesn't suggest those CDC guidelines are too sensible for little kids outside in 90 degree heat running around with masks.
Yes, Amanda, you've asked.
Again, he's laughing, which is a way to just tell somebody, your question's really ridiculous. Okay, I don't care what the CDC says. I don't care what any doctor in the country says. I am positive as a human being with 59 years of life experience that a kid wearing a stinky hot mask that restricts their air intake, that they are in far more danger wearing a mask while playing soccer than they are if they're just breathing the fresh air. And again, I guarantee that Anthony Fauci knows that. I guarantee Jay Inslee knows that. I guarantee Joe Biden, who still wears his mask outside, knows that. Well, I guarantee Fauci and Inslee. I don't know what Joe knows. Joe doesn't know much these days. But I would bet, if there was a way to settle it with certainty, I would bet my entire life's fortune that I know more and you know more, because you know how crazy this is, I'm sure, to have kids wearing masks while they're outside running around playing baseball or softball. We know that the mask is more dangerous than breathing. But, oh, it's so funny to Anthony Fauci.
Give me that question a couple of times before.
I'm asking for two kids named Vale and Charlie, age 6 and 4.
Yeah, well, you're right. The CDC makes decisions based on science. They will continually reevaluate.
No, they don't.
It looks a bit strict, a bit stringent. But that's the reason why they keep looking at that and trying to, you know, reevaluate on literally in real time whether or not that's the practical way to go.
Just a total, absolute load of bull-loney. Okay, the CDC is not making decisions based on science because there's no way this is science-based. Putting masks on little kids playing sports outside. That's crazy. Making a two-year-old get a COVID test so that they can sit in the vax section at the Mariners game. Hey, I got tickets for the M's game this weekend. Oh, really? Where are you? Vax or non-vax? Oh, I'm vax. Oh, cool. I wish I was vax. I could only get non-vax. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Okay, a school nurse. Here's another example of the cult-like mentality and why this is all about control and not public health. A school nurse has been suspended from her job because she, like me, like you, she says putting masks on kids is child abuse. And here's why she told Fox why she brought up concerns about masks on kids.
Well, I was witnessing children being harmed by these masks on a multifactorial level. So I've seen kids come in with all kinds of dirty masks, the same mask for weeks, surgical masks that have food and dirt on them. And I had a student come to me. He came to the nurse's office and said he couldn't breathe. He was wearing a bandana type of mask that was tied around his neck. And another nurse was with me at the time. And we said, okay, let's take it off and we'll give you a surgical mask. And he said, I can't take this mask off. I've been wearing it for 2 weeks. When he said that to us, we were like in shock. How could this be? This kid's sleeping and showering in this mask for 2 weeks. We tried to take it off and we couldn't. So we actually had to cut it off and throw it away.
That's healthy. That's healthy for a kid, isn't it? Her name's Erin Pine. And she says that that case made her decide to take up the issue with her supervisor because she knew this was horrible for kids.
That's just one story of lots of stories of kids wearing them incorrectly. And so I decided to make a stand. I let my supervisor know about my concerns, and they weren't appreciated.
They weren't appreciated. And you have three kids. Do they wear masks to school?
And she said she had more examples of harm, and here's the reaction she got.
Bluntly told me we are going to be following the mandates put in place by Governor Murphy, and that includes wearing masks. And I let them know that as a nurse, I don't feel comfortable enforcing something that I can see and know that is harming somebody. You know, I had a kid come down to me. She was wearing a mask. She was crying. She had vomited in class. I was taking care of another student, so I said, sit down. When I got to her, I pulled her mask off. It was full of vomit. Her mask was full of vomit. She walked down to me with it on. Just heartbreaking. This is, you know, first graders that come in and are having this severe anxiety. You know, kindergartners are not able to understand what their friends are saying or doing because they can't see their facial expressions.
But we will do whatever the governor tells us to do. Governor says it, we will do it.
We do what we're told. We do what we're told.
It's unbelievable. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. This has been on the web for a couple of days now. I just haven't had time to get to it. But it is so bizarre that I need to make sure, if you've not heard it, the CIA has a brand new recruitment ad. And the CIA is supposed to protect us from terrorism, from foreign enemies. But no, CIA has gone woke. And the recruitment ads are not about people's ability to find messages on the dark web that terrorists might be trading or anything like that. No, no, no. This is your new CIA.
I'm a woman of color. I am a mom. I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise. I am a walking declaration, a woman whose inflection does not rise at the end of her sentences, suggesting that a question has been asked. I used to struggle with imposter syndrome, but at 36, I refuse to internalize misguided patriarchal ideas of what a woman can or should be. I am tired of feeling like I'm supposed to apologize for the space I occupy rather than intoxicate people with my effort, my brilliance. I am proud of me. Full stop.
Okay, everybody's been making fun of I'm cisgender, I have anxiety disorder, I'm intersectional. And then one point she says, I don't check boxes, after she had checked every box on the sheet. But there was something else that I haven't heard one person mention that bothers me. She goes, I don't follow the patriarchal blah, 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 blah. I tell you what, this male hating that becomes so coded, that becomes so subtle, that amidst all of the nonsense, all the woke nonsense of cisgender, anxiety disorder, intersectionality, when you just kind of slip in, I don't follow the patriarchal guidelines or dictates or however she puts it. Let me see if I can find that part.
I used to struggle with imposter syndrome, but at 36, I refuse to internalize misguided patriarchal ideas of what a woman can or should be.
I
am tired of feeling like I'm supposed to apologize for the space I occupy rather than intoxicate.
If it's a man, if it's a patriarchal idea, of course it's horrible. You know what? I'll tell you something right now, and I say this with absolute 100% certainty. If we didn't have every single television show portray the husband and father as the big goof in the family, except for Last Man Standing, where Tim Allen is a great family man who, it's a great character, especially in stark contrast to every other show where the man's the dope, the man's the dupe, the man's the person everybody goofs on. If we spent just a fraction of our energy, instead of tearing down man every chance we get, oh, you're just a old white man. What do you know? It's just become the most common disparaging remark that can be made. So what's happened? Well, you got fathers disappearing from families and from kids. And you have generation after generation after generation of kids born out of wedlock who fall into gangs, families in poverty, which, by the way, that's just the statistics, that kids born out of wedlock have about a 20-time more likely chance of being a child who grows up in poverty. But why don't we as a society, let's support women. Of course I want to support women. I have a wife. I have three beautiful young women who are daughters of mine. Let's support women. But why does it always have to be to tear down a man? I don't support the patriarchal viewpoints. You know, if we restored the family, if we got fathers back in kids' lives, if we defended marriage a lot more passionately and fervently than we do now, if we stopped disparaging men at every turn, society would be a lot better off. Kids are meant to have a mom and a dad. And that doesn't mean single parents are not. I know some fantastic single parents. But the ideal is you have a mom and a dad. I have my closest business relationship is a man who's gay. He and his partner have three kids. They're fantastic dads. But I absolutely believe the kids should have a mom and a dad. And I'm sick of all this little subtle, I don't follow the patriarchal. It's all a bunch of garbage that helps tear down our society, which is the intent of all of that. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
Oh, yeah, you give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Brock Heward drops by on Wednesdays. Where will that meandering conversation lead? Let's find out together next after we check the news for you here on the Dory Monson Show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Heward.
Blue it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Where the 12s hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline. Reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
Well, it is Wednesday afternoon, which means I am graced by the presence of Brock Heward joining us. Hey, Brock, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Dory. I'm doing well. How are you on this hump day?
Well, you know, it's gorgeous out here in Seattle. It's going to be 72 degrees this afternoon. And
you're going to get back on that golf course? You're going to rebound?
I'm actually playing a week from Saturday, so yes, I'm gonna play again. But I got to get to the range lots before that. That's for sure. All right, I got a lot of stuff I want to talk with you about because I was talking with Dave Wyman yesterday, and one of the biggest draft busts in Seahawks history, Malik McDowell, came up and he cracked his head on a ATV accident and wasn't able to play, and now the Cleveland Browns have signed him. And I saw a video last night of him resisting arrest a couple of years ago, and I don't know what they were thinking when they drafted this guy. But you were telling me about guys who are just losing a fortune right now because of the way NFL contracts are structured. And I want to learn more about
that.
Well,
we just had the draft, right? The NFL draft where dreams come true. And I'll tell you, I can still vividly remember that day for me 20 some years ago, as I'm sure Dave Wyman can and Paul Moyer and others that have gotten to experience that. And now, so they get drafted. And usually what happens, Dory, is
actually Paul Moyer was undrafted.
Well, why do you have to clarify that?
He was an undrafted free agent. Because I've always found that to be very impressive.
It was wrong
of me to correct you on the air. I should have called you after the segment quietly. I'm sorry.
No, you were so proud and you were so happy to tell everybody that Paul wasn't drafted. Oh, actually, Brock, no, he wasn't drafted.
That was just me being a bad host with my guest, and I apologize.
I think it was a little petty towards Paul, but that's fine. Theater of the mind. So they just had this draft, right? And usually what happens after you get drafted, like this upcoming weekend, they have a rookie minicamp. Well, the NFL Players Association, you remember this, we talked about this about a month ago, where they have put out this not an ultimatum, but strongly have recommended to their players to not show up for off-season workouts. Don't do it. First they tried to use the guise of COVID, which was a joke because it was never going to be about COVID whatsoever with these guys, and then they kind of relinquished on that and said, well, actually you just don't need to, like, we didn't need the off-season last year, and we don't need your boss is telling you to work, and it's quote-unquote voluntary and everything else. But Dory, you were around the league a long time covering it, and you know that 70, 80, 85% of the guys need off seasons, need their opportunity to make their off season checks, need the opportunity to impress the coaches. There's no guaranteed contracts other than your signing bonus. And, it's a typical 80-20 rule. 80% of the guys make 20% of the money, and the 20%, the really rich veterans, like this lineman in Denver, who is set to make $10 million bucks this year, and he listened. And it was really clear, like, okay, if you are not going to participate and you get hurt outside of our facility, your contract is void. So he tore his Achilles, and he more than likely is going to be out $10 million this year and another $13 million in guarantees. So, I wonder how many of these.
How did he tear it?
Yeah, he was just working out on his own. I don't know what he was doing, if he was playing pickleball like you did or tennis when you tore yours, or what he was doing. And and unlike our old friend who could still play tennis on a torn Achilles, Juwan James is this guy's name. And I was telling somebody this story, and they're like, well, why didn't he just hop himself up on pain pills, go into the facility, right, knowing it was torn, but just suck it up, and then all of a sudden just pop it, you know, squatting or jumping or doing something in the facility to save $10 million bucks. But
so he would have gotten all his money?
Well, if he could have conceivably done that, I don't know how much pain or shock. And when you're 330 pounds, I don't know if you could take enough pain pills to still walk in that facility and act like you haven't hurt yourself and then actually, you know, fake it. But I'll be curious if this will be kind of a little domino. There are a bunch of other NFL vets that were like, see, stupid. Like, you know, let's get back to work. This is our profession anyway. You know, we're not working 80 hours in the off season. They're asking us to come in and lift and run for a few hours and sit in a meeting maybe for an hour. For crying out loud, do your job.
I just want to clarify the little remark you tossed in. So I have snapped my Achilles, and I was talking about Brock and I were at a Mariner game with an acquaintance of ours. And this person claimed that he had snapped his Achilles and then finished playing a tennis match with a ruptured Achilles. And I'm saying, I've ruptured my Achilles. No, you didn't. And Brock's looking at him saying, that's impossible, man. And he just insisted.
Yes.
And started getting angry at us because we didn't believe he finished a tennis match.
Are you calling me a liar? Yeah, I'm actually calling you a liar. There is no way in Hades that you could tear your Achilles and run the baseline. Yeah.
I said you had a partial tear. And he goes, oh no, it was ruptured. It was snapped. Well then, no, you didn't. Oh, it was so ridiculous.
No, you didn't.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers, another thing I've been kind of fascinated with. He's ticked off management. He is one of the great quarterbacks of all time. I don't hate him like some. Paul Moyer hates Aaron Rodgers as a player.
A lot of folks do. Mostly because he's really good, and then he's also very, very snarky, and he at times suffers from BBL in the worst way.
Bad body language.
Well done, Dory. Well done.
Yeah, he fakes the injuries so that he can be heroic, right?
Right.
All that
I don't think
stuff.
He fakes them. I think he just amplifies them a little bit.
That's fair.
You know, this is on heels of Russell and all of our fun conversation about Russell. And you just wonder in this day and age, Dory, if we're going to just see more of this. We see more player empowerment at the collegiate level. That has happened drastically. We're seeing more player empowerment in the NFL level. There are guys that have been just flat out unhappy that have sat out, that have forced trades. Jalen Ramsey and Yannick Ngakoue. And I think he's going to do the exact same. I think he's never going to play another down for the Packers. I think he's done. I think he's a cold-blooded businessman. And when they drafted his replacement in the first round 370 days ago, from that point on, he was done. And it was just going to be a matter of when, not if. And it will be a fascinating shift in this league to see the MVP, one of the greats, as you just said, ever, to ever, ever do it. And the MVP last season more than likely forced his way out of town.
Well, but he's not going to quit playing. He's just going to force a trade to somewhere, right?
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. It depends. He's in the running for Alex Trebek's job.
And I know.
That's lucrative, and I think he'd really like that, and he can make a lot of money.
Alex Trebek did that into his 70s. You can only be an NFL quarterback for a very short window. So that'd be silly. Hey, I wanted to ask you, you know how much I love your Above and Beyond podcast, the intersection of sports and faith. Was that,
yes,
did
sir.
I get the tagline right?
Well done.
So I know a lot of people. My daughter, my youngest, went to King's School for a couple of years. I know a lot of King's families. I don't know Corey Kispert, who was just such a shining star for Gonzaga from King's High School. I don't know him personally, but I know a lot of people who know his family. And, man, talk about unanimous, glowing reviews of a kid, and he's your season debut coming up?
Yes, so we're going to start season 5. Compassion came back around yet again, incredible sponsors for us, and the doors just continue to open with different people that want to tell their story and to tell and share their testimony. So, yes, we are going to tape with Corey tomorrow on Thursday. And then for those of you that that have subscribed to that, it's been a while because of COVID. We couldn't get in studio and it was just kind of a mess. But season 5, we're going to try to be pretty religious about it and try to get you another 12 to 15 pretty remarkable stories. And Corey will kick it off. You know, a brutal loss in the NCAA championship, an incredible run at Gonzaga. He's on the precipice of being drafted into the NBA. He walks his talk, and I'll be a young guy to, you know, one of the younger ones to tell their story and share their story, but he certainly has one to tell. So we'll tape tomorrow and you can look for that next week, Dory.
Hey, and just real quick, because I know we're about out of time.
We're way over time.
I know, but I'm just curious because you knew a lot of Christian athletes and everything, being a superstar, identified as a superstar when you're in middle school and everybody's just, bowing before you. And then the same thing happens in college. And then you have millions thrown at you as a young man and, 20, 21, 22 years old. Is there a common thread among the ones who are able to keep a sense of perspective and not let all that wealth overwhelm the values and the faith that they grew up with?
Well, I think it's the same thing, Dory, that you and me and our friend Russ and others have walked through in life, and that is the common thread is to have community around you. The common thread is to hopefully have a family that loves you, but some don't, and overcome, and many, have had to overcome brutal home environments. But yes, I would think the most common thread from Tony Dungy to Matt Hasselbeck to all of the different guys and gals that I have done those podcasts with, you're going to find a refining community of friendship and fellowship that continues to grow them, because we are not called to do this thing called life alone.
Yeah. Amen. All right.
Amen on
good
that
stuff. That'll be posted in just a few days. Go to 710sports.com to subscribe to Brock's Above and Beyond. Brock, good stuff as always. I appreciate it, sir.
We'll get out on that bike this afternoon, Dory. Go get some sunshine, some vitamin D, and pump away, because I know you love doing that. That will help your golf game, too.
Brock Heward joins us every Wednesday's afternoon, and we got lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show
rolls on, rolls on, rolls on.
Oh, my goodness. So the president, who wears a mask outside even though he's been vaccinated, he's trying to convince everyone else to get vaccinated. I've never understood that. When you get the vaccine, it's supposed to make your life better, right? So Joe Biden, he addressed the nation last night. And if you have been on the fence about whether Joe is all there or not, it's just the evidence is becoming more and more clear every single day. You can tell, especially in the initial stumble, and then when he's trying to give out a text number, he has no clue what he's saying. He's just reading words on a teleprompter.
I'm going to repeat. We're going to make it easier than ever to get vaccinated. Visit vaccines.gov, vaccines.com, or text your zip code to 438829.
So go to vaccines.com. Okay, you got that? Punch that into your browser. We're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour. And then, fascinating live interview coming up. I've been telling you about how absolutely broken, dysfunctional, out of control the King County Sheriff's Office is. We have more proof of that, and you're going to hear all about it next here on the Dory Monson Show.